This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Wednesday, October 2, 2019. I'm Caleb Brown. The price for committing war crimes is less often paid when those crimes originate from a powerful country. Cato's John Glazer detailed some of the accountability issues surrounding war crimes in the September edition of Cato Unbound. We discuss the anarchic nature of relations among countries and what that means when war crimes are committed. When we're trying to evaluate what are war crimes and how we ought to hold war criminals accountable, it seems to be a perpetually difficult task. And in some cases, it seems like, at least from the U.S. administration, that it's a bit of a moving target depending on how they view the particular situation. Is that fair?
Sure. You know, most war crimes and crimes against humanity are detailed in international law, particularly the UN Charter to start with. Prosecuting them is where it gets tricky. And, you know, I'm not an international law scholar. I'm not a legal scholar of any kind. So I come at this issue in the context of international relations. And what realists in particular have talked about is the structural problem at the center of the international system. There's no world government, no sovereign above states to impose law equally among them. And so what you get is a legal system that, you know, is aspirational at times. Sometimes it's able to be enforced as it's intended to, but typically that happens to weak and small states. Big, powerful states, because of the anarchic nature of the international system, can essentially most of the time get away with whatever they do.
All right. So how do we deal with that?
Well,
how have governments dealt with it?
Again, the structural problem that leads to this enforcement problem doesn't go away. And so, you know, when, say, the United States, for example, has been accused of war crimes, it typically dismisses them. So I think back to 1986, when the World Court decided in a case brought by Nicaragua that the United States acted illegally in supporting the Contra rebels and mining Nicaraguan harbors, that was an illegal act in violation of Article 2.4 of the United Nations Charter. The Reagan administration responded by ignoring the court's ruling, dismissing its findings, and refusing to hold the perpetrators accountable. When the United States went to war in Iraq, the UN General Secretary at the time said it was a clear war crime. That is to say, the act of going to war without the justification of self-defense and without the approval of the UN Security Council. And it was barely an issue to be talked about in the United States. This major violation of international law, should the United States face consequences? It appears that the answer is no.
Within the chain of command, that they must be keenly aware of that. That is, that holding people accountable will not necessarily be rewarded, or attempting to hold people accountable won't be rewarded.
Yeah, I mean, you're essentially talking about having elite foreign policymakers willingly subject themselves to the rule of law, which, you know, for understandable reasons, they are reluctant to do. But again, you know, we do see cases in which small, weak states hold their leaders accountable for grave crimes. Just a few years ago in 2013, Efrain Rios-Montt, who was a dictator in Guatemala that the United States supported with vigor, and he was found guilty of war crimes and genocide for crimes that he committed back in the 1980s when we supported him. You know, they held their leader accountable, but there's never been a parallel effort in this country to try to hold Reagan-era officials accountable for the war crimes that they were complicit in.
So going forward, how, as a policy matter, is there any change that can be made to that? Or is it just the nature, as you say, of the structure of international relations that big guys don't have to hold their people accountable for war crimes, even though their countries essentially have signed on to definitions of what those are and what the appropriate steps are?
So I try to take a long view on this. Although the international system is anarchic, and although it's still true that big, powerful states can commit crimes and escape accountability for them, it's also true that if you look at the long arc of history, the international system does operate on a far more just and ethical basis than it used to. Things like conquest have been not only outlawed, but essentially there are strong norms against it. So the exceptions to the rule, like, for example, Russia's annexation of Crimea, are seen as exceptions to the rule. And if you compare, you know, the rate of, you know, back in the 1800s, there used to be about 11 Crimeas per year that were conquered by other nations in terms of just the square footage. And that doesn't happen anymore. And that is because a long tradition of liberal thought in the international system that countries should be subject to laws, and that particularly on issues of conflict and war, they should operate within certain bounds of norms and laws. And that does have an effect, I think, on the character and behavior of states. But again, it's a very bottom-up process that will take decades to improve to the point where I think a big, powerful state can hold its own leaders accountable. The one other potential that can help sort of deal with this problem is domestic pressure. If it is the case that Americans understand the importance of international laws and norms, and that U.S. actors have to be held accountable for violations of those things, the public can pressure for accountability. But, you know, that's up to them.
John Glazer directs foreign policy studies at the Cato Institute. Subscribe to the Cato Daily Podcast wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at Cato Podcast.